Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to a new redefining education podcast. To educate means to give intellectual, moral, and social instruction to someone, typically in schools or universities. Yet, the pace of modern technology and how it affects our societies and even our humanity requires a complete redefinition of how we teach, learn, and live. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com.
All right, Marco.
Sean, you know what we're going to talk about today? Something we've never talked about before.
It's the first time we're talking about this.
The first time today.
Today. Yeah, and that is true, actually, the first time today. But it's a conversation that the resulting problem continues to be a problem. And I'm very interested in why that is. We've done a lot to talk the talk about this, and seems like we're not able to get on to our knees or even to, let alone our feet, to walk the walk here. And we're talking about the lack of a diverse workforce, specifically in cybersecurity, but I think broader in technology, this is still a problem as well. And I think, well, Marco, I mean, it's probably rooted in we're not training people and giving them the opportunity.
I don't know. I'm not an expert in this, but we did have many, many conversations. We started maybe 5-6 years ago with talking about this thing. I have to be honest, I've seen progress. I wouldn't put it in the scale of things at the high level of progress, or at least as fast as I would like to see this progress going. But a lot of people have empowered other people, especially minority, to get into the industry, to get into STEM by mentoring and by being examples for others, because you need to inspire people as well. So without further ado, this is the channel that now we call Redefining Education. It's focused on cybersecurity and technology, but also in the education concept in general. Maybe it's too old. Maybe you need to be reformed a little bit. And to talk about this, I'm very happy to have two new friends that hopefully will be longtime friends of ITSP Magazine. And they're straight from the UK. Sean, I'll give you the honor to introduce them.
Super thrilled to have Stephanie and Nini on. And I presume they have some really great experiences to share and some stories to tell around broadening the diversity landscape for cybersecurity and beyond. So Stephanie and Nini, thanks so much for being part of this.
Thank you for having me.
So to kick it off, we like to say that our audience wants to know who our guests are, of course. So Stephanie, I'm going to turn it to you first. A few words about your, not too far in your background, but a little bit about yourself and why this is a passion for you. And then if you can pass it over to Nini, that would be great.
Okay. So hello, everyone. I'm Steph. And just to talk a bit about my journey, I think I've had like an unconventional introduction into tech and cybersecurity. I'll say my first stint was working with the BBC Africa with the whole Ebola pandemic and working on disinformation on the WhatsApp platform, to actually working for government and working in the cybercrime area, where I saw that a lot of issues that were propping up, or a lot of the victims tend to be women of color. But there wasn't enough of people or a lot of people who looked like me or looked like the victims that I was seeing or the people who were vulnerable online in the decision-making table. So I decided to form an organization called Sadia. And our main focus is to help women get into the industry, women from Black and minority ethnic backgrounds, whether that's through coaching, internships, events where we get experts to come and share the experience. It's all about making it easy and breaking the barriers. So that's a bit about me.
Hi, everyone. Hi, I'm Nini. So I am actually a career changer. So previously I worked within the media industry. I always wanted to get into tech, but I just didn't know how. And I also didn't come across any opportunities. I'm actually an alumni of Sadia and their remote internship. And through that, I'm now actually currently a junior site reliability engineer.
Fantastic. I already have so many questions just from your introduction. And I'm actually going to start with you, Nini, because I have a feeling that not everybody knows that there are opportunities in technology, or even more specifically, cybersecurity, what those opportunities are, what they mean, why they matter, and as you mentioned, how do you even begin? So what was the driver for you? What was the aha moment that said, I want to be in tech? And then what was the moment that said, I want to go deeper into cybersecurity?
So I think for me before, previously, I didn't know what jobs were out there in tech. And also I didn't see anyone that looked like me. So when I went to uni, which is college, I studied business studies because at that time, anyone that studied any STEM degrees were either going to be a doctor or an engineer, or I thought that they were going to, you know, do the IT department in your organization. So I wasn't aware of all the different careers that were available. And it's only when one of my project management jobs, I was actually in charge of a digital transformation project that I came across all the tech that they were using. And I got so engrossed in this project. And I was like, wow, like, you don't think about all the little components that go behind all the software we're using, all the technology we're using. And there's someone behind it. That's someone's job. And I started to think, okay, like, how can I get into this? But then I thought, oh, I don't have a science degree. Is it too late for me to go to uni? Like, where do I start? How do I even get funding to start learning? And then that's where I came across like organizations like Sadia, where they were offering training, offering coaching, offering events, and even just, I think more importantly, just offering information, which is what is needed, because a lot of people just don't know where to start. They don't know where to begin. And because technology is so vast and so varied, there's so many different skills, it can also become overwhelming. So it's just trying to narrow down, okay, what do I want to do? How did I narrow down into cybersecurity? I think it was mainly a lot of just seeing a lot of all the security breaches, hearing personal stories of people getting scammed, and then also just businesses talking about the importance of keeping their data safe and all the GDPR. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. And the more I read up on it, I thought to myself, okay, this is actually what I want to do. And that's how I narrow down the field that I'm going to go into.
Cool. So I think there is many common denominator when we have this kind of conversation that come together. And I think, Stephanie, you kind of point that thing out when you were talking about you didn't see people that look like you, right, in general. And Nini, you'd like, how do I get into this industry? Nobody's ever told me that I could do this. And this is pretty common in general, because cybersecurity is kind of like this, for a long time, has been this secret society in a way, like, where tech talk to tech, and it's like a lot of dudes imagining it in the IBM suits and so forth, but time has changed. And what it really makes things change, I think in general, Stephanie, and I'm connecting to your experience, it's the fact that you need to see people that inspire you. If you, as a young kid, you want to become a scientist and you read a book from, I don't know, Carl Sagan or Madame Curie or whatever, you'd like, okay, I can be that. But if nobody ever told you that you could be that person, it's really hard to dream something that you can't even dream about. So this psychological situation, is this something that you find many times in the people that come to your organization to look for help? Is this something like let me experience something completely new. How do I attract these people? I think that's my question.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit it the nail on the head about representation. I think also different communities, especially with ethnic communities in the UK, it tends to work in social networks. You know, you go to church, that's kind of your community, or you go to mosque and that's kind of your community. And sometimes certain ethnicities might live in certain areas just because of that social network. And if you don't have anyone who looks like you or works in those sectors, it's very difficult. I think for me, I was a little bit lucky that when I was in sixth form in secondary school, I had a IT lecturer. I think for my secondary school, I had a woman called Miss Afadi, who was my IT teacher. And she kind of, I saw someone who looked like me in that position. And then when I went to sixth form, it was a guy, but still he was very encouraging. I just didn't end up studying it at university. But with the women, it's more, I want to get into this field, but I don't know what it is. And like you said, I feel like everybody understands tech and coding because a lot of women, a lot of individuals have done an amazing job in spreading the knowledge about software and making it more accessible with YouTube. You know, there's so many resources out there. I feel with cybersecurity, it's almost has this negative myth of a man in a hoodie, a hacker. And it's a thing where, you know, they just think, it's hacking, and it's like, no, cybersecurity has different components. It's not just hacking, your different domains. Your background, if you do have certain skills, because every day we think about risk management, you think about the pros and cons of a situation. If you are working in a physical or job that requires you to be there physically, you think about physical security, and it's allowing them to understand that there is value in your experience, your previous experience, if you're transitioning, and that you can, you know, it's not something that's too difficult. You just need to understand the different information, have a bit of awareness of the different careers that are there and think which ones align to your skills. But it definitely that lack of information and not being comfortable to approach people who might be seen as big players in the industry because they just don't look like you. Is what I'll say the issue is. And also, sorry, Sean, I
see. Yeah, please.
I think in the UK, there is a big problem with job ads. I've said this before, but a lot of jobs require CISSP. And it's like, if you're an entry beginner, how are you going to have that certification? And it's all about, I don't even think recruiters truly understand the requirements for entry-level roles into cybersecurity. And I think that's another pain point because it's one, understanding information and getting certification, but I think there's definitely a barrier as to trying to get a job in the industry. But happy to talk about that later.
Yeah, we certainly will get into that. And I want to go to Nini for this next piece because I feel that generally speaking, when we put people in a bucket, or in a box, or whatever you want to call it, and we say, okay, this is who you are. We recognize that. Now it's your responsibility to do something to become part of the bigger box. And I think we put the onus on the individual, and even Nini, you talked about the work you're doing, and Stephanie, the work you're doing to help the individual. But you pointed out, Stephanie, that it's the recruiters. They're not positioning the job in the right way. The ads are not being inclusive in the right way. So Nini, I'm wondering how does a big picture look to you where you might think, and you probably are doing everything in your own personal power to achieve what you believe is possible, but you continue to run into roadblocks or continue to not see what you think should be there for you as the next step? And what are some of those points along the path from starting to reaching the goal that you really want to arrive at?
Yeah, following on from Stephanie's point, like it starts with the recruiters, but then let's just say you do get a recruiter that puts you through to the next round, then it's the hiring manager because it's like a I don't want to say a sports crowd, but they may think, oh, you don't look like them, or you don't act like them, they can't relate to you. Then you may pass the hiring manager, then you go into your team, and then you may be the only ethnic person on your team or the only woman on your team. Then you pass your team, then it goes to the wider company. So it's just like there's so many roadblocks, as you say, as you go along. And I feel like it's education within companies, education within teams. It's also just fairness, because some opportunities aren't available. They aren't open to certain not even just demographics, certain social classes. Like if you go to a certain university or a certain college, you may be knowledgeable about certain schemes, and you can only get to that scheme if you know someone within that network. So those are some of the roadblocks that just need to be moved in order to just allow more people to get into cybersecurity, and not even to cybersecurity, just tech in general.
No, I think I'm going to jump on this and we can go deeper in this, because I feel like we need to go a little back in time in someone's history of learning, right? I kind of mentioned that at the beginning. It's like, oh, you walk your life, you go through, you know, all the schools, you grow up, and, you know, maybe you want to be a soccer player, who knows, and then you don't. You have dreams that at a certain point you're like, you know, that was kind of cool, but there are other things out there. And then all of a sudden you're not prepared. You find yourself at the edge of this cliff, and there is this huge gap, and nobody's helping you, and you're not prepared, and nobody prepared you before. So I like to kind of think about, are we failing as an education system to give more opportunity, more knowledge to people, more options to everyone that could reflect into the hiring people too? Because it's almost like you go there with the blinds on, and then you have biases all over the places. So what's your vision? Maybe both of you, I don't know. Stephanie, you want to start with that, and then Nini, your point of view.
Yeah, I think even going with Nini's point, it really depends what university you go to. But even if you go back, it depends on what secondary school you go to. And the reason why I talk about secondary school is, I remember once I graduated, I did this thing called Code First Girls, which was what was the first technical training skills that I got. And I was thinking about when I was in secondary school, you know, we had very limited resources. We didn't know what were the things that were out there. Like, for example, Google CS First is a program for any child who wants to learn coding, but that's only available in certain areas. It's not available in all schools. And it's free. It's free. It's out there. But it's the technical know-how. And I think that's what we take for granted. I think it's the for granted information. I think people, and it's all about privilege. Even I have privilege to a certain extent with the knowledge that I have. It's knowing what's out there. And I feel like that lack of knowledge and that lack of access to resources, it's what hinders people. And then the further you go down on the education system, almost the further you are behind. And even being prepared to even enter the workplace, when you finally get your foot into the door and there is diversity, that inclusion aspect, understanding cybersecurity lingo, understanding the language, understanding different personality types, or, you know, a certain organization that might be really into golf or cricket. And if you weren't exposed to that, you know, it'll be very difficult for you to make conversation. And sometimes in the UK, there's a pop culture of going and drinking. And if you're someone who doesn't drink because your religion doesn't allow it, or you're just not a drinker, or you're not going to fit in. And I think that those are the different barriers, but I think it's definitely that taken for granted knowledge that people assume everyone knows. But, you know, it's like common sense really is not common. And I think sometimes we have to redefine what we see or what we define common sense as.
And Nini, what would you like to add to that?
I think, I don't know if it's a controversial take, but I think the biggest barrier, particularly in the UK, is the way our education system is set up. So from about 13, 14, you have to decide what you want to do as a career, what you want to be. And from then you have to pick your GCSEs, and your GCSEs will lead to your A-levels will lead to your uni degree. And I feel like that's such a big decision to make at 13, especially if you're not aware of the certain careers that are available to you. So by the time you do get to uni, you do decide that you want to study computer science, you can't because you haven't taken the right prerequisites in order to be able to study that. And then also, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe in like in the US, you can have a major but still pick up minors. So you can have a major in a specific field and still dabble in technical courses. Whereas in the UK, you do business studies, you do business studies topics. And that already sets someone back a lot because by the time they do decide, oh, I do want to go into a technical career, first barrier, you don't have a STEM degree. Then second barrier, okay, there's internships available, either the internship unpaid or the internship can't is lowly paid, so you can't even afford to take that internship to get that exposure and that experience. And then further to what Steph said, then you do get into the, a job, and then it's social differences, like, okay, I don't do cricket, I listen to certain type of music, I don't go to certain places. So yeah, I think it does have to start from an overhaul in our education system.
So my comment is, it's almost like you're only going to be driven into what you can do by what you know. And when you know you're a kid, you know because of your family, because of your community. And if you don't happen that your parents, per se, are musicians, you're probably not going to choose to go to the conservatory. And I think that's the main problem right now because every career is so open. Let's talk about cybersecurity. I mean, in this the last few years, we understood that anyone is needed in cybersecurity. Legal is needed in cybersecurity. All the soft skill, I hate that word, but you know, let's use it, are needed. Psychology, sociology. I mean, cybersecurity is a human problem. It's not a technology problem. So yeah, Sean, no, you talk about this a lot.
I want to go to Stephanie with this because I'm wondering two things. When you're working with your, we'll call them students, I don't know if you have a different term for them, but for the people that you're helping to find that next chapter in their life, their business career, what, and given the fact that they probably have taken a path that's very stringent and didn't give them any much leeway to veer off in different directions, what are they coming with that really empowers them to be successful in this field? And what are they often missing that you then have to help fill that gap?
I hate the word resilience, but I feel like it's great. It's resilience is, and I think it's, unfortunately, I feel like the way things are set up, a lot of the reasons why they're doing it is for economic empowerment, for their families, if they're mothers, for their children. It's for them, it's understanding that, you know, there's a bigger purpose in why I want to make this decision. And that's what drives the resilience. What I will say is the barrier or what they lack, one of it is, again, information, understanding the different careers available, how they can fit. I think, you know, it's, you know, how they can fit in this cybersecurity picture, but also experience. You know, I think it's, yeah, they can tell them, you know, if you want to be a network engineer, maybe get this certification, but is that experience. And what I do advocate is understanding that you do have a unique, you know, proposition. You have a social network, your church, your mosque, you know, work in those organizations, try and see if you can work in the IT team in your church or your mosque and see how you can get those experience with your social network, with your community. I don't know how it is in the US, but I know in the UK is definitely a very individualistic society. Everyone's kind of me. But in cases of experiences being, you know, creative in how you do it, and if they're not in the UK and whether they're in India or Jamaica, again, it's using that community that you have to try and get experience in the most creative ways so that when you are applying for jobs, you are able to bring that to the table and bring your most authentic self. So that's how I kind of help them with the navigation of that.
So Nini, I want to hear your story. So you started down a path, you moved into tech, moved into cybersecurity. What resources did you use, including those offered by Stephanie and her team? And how did that, I'm envisioning like this buildup of greater confidence, greater progress, and a momentum that kind of built. And so two questions. What resources did you use? How did those help you get to where you are? And how do you see the next steps for you progressing, given what you've been able to accomplish at this point?
So the resources I used was mainly social network in terms of Twitter. So from Twitter, I found out about a WhatsApp group organization called Coding Black Females. Coding Black Females would put a lot of resources, either it was programming resources, mentorship opportunities, internship opportunities. And in one of their postings, they actually put the cybersecurity internship available via Sadia. So then with Sadia, I actually got the technical cybersecurity experience that I'd been lacking through the remote internship. I also got mentorship, also loads of events, including like different career roles in cybersecurity, different certifications, because people always talk about certification, particularly because I don't have a STEM background. I knew that eventually I will need to get certified if I do want to progress. So certification opportunities, and then just general advice on how to navigate working within the tech space, because coming from business media career to then a whole tech space, it's also having learning how to adjust and navigate that workspace as well. So those are just some of the resources that have helped me to land my first tech job, and I'm really thankful that for that. If it wasn't for those resources available, I probably will still be a project manager somewhere.
Yeah, and to end this conversation, which I think it's very broad. Like we didn't really focus on a specific thing, but I think it's very important because, as we usually say, if we make people think, we're succeeding with our conversation. And maybe Stephanie, to end this, based on your experience, both personal experience as a business owner running this organization, if you had to give some advice to both sides of the fence, there's the students and there's the teachers. Like what would you change if you could, so that when people arrive to the decision, I mean, it's kind of sad that you have to make a decision when you're like 6 or 7 years old or 12 years old, right? But let's say that you can get to the point where you're a little bit more mature. What are the advice that you can give to people to say, look, this is what you should maybe focus on to be prepared for when the time come?
I think for me, it's put in the information in an easy, bite-sized way. I think with TikTok now, it allows you to capture information very quickly. It will be to put the different careers available in tech, maybe in a visualized, easy way for people to kind of capture what's needed with the skills. But I think it's also letting people know that they don't have to be stuck with one career. I feel like, you know, we're in a world where we can change. And I always say, you know, you can come into cybersecurity, you feel like it's not for you, you might try something else. And that's okay. But I think it's allowing people to have the information and understand and creating the dots. And I think that's what's missing, that people see cybersecurity, but it's how do I create a roadmap? And it's making it easier for students to create their own roadmap to whatever career they want to do. And I think for the teacher side, it's allowing all the information to be available. I know when I was in university, I did economics. A lot of the push was towards finance, and I knew I didn't want to work in finance. So it's making it plain and simple. And I know there's a website that does that with cybersecurity roles, but I think it's just making that easily digestible for people to get that information to make their own choice. I think it's, you can't force anyone into a career, but you can give them information for them to make their own decision.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess the takeaway for me, Marco, as we wrap here, it's the about taking things for granted, it's one-sided. And I think both sides need to look at the take for granted message. One is from the hiring side, that those in the industry can't take for granted where they are and also complain that there aren't enough people to help them achieve and succeed. But on the other side, don't take for granted that there isn't a path, that what you only see in front of you is the only option you have. I think there's a pause there for others to say, okay, what is available? Let me open my eyes. Let me talk to people maybe that don't look like me to see what's possible and find resources like Nini did and what Stephanie offers and the community that's surrounding that to say, okay, these are the opportunities. I'm not going to take for granted that I'm stuck in this little channel. I'm going to move beyond what's been presented to me and into something that really excites me. So let's stop taking things for granted on both sides, Marco. That's my final takeaway.
Stay open-minded.
Yep.
And understand that diversity is the lifeblood of this industry, and not only in this industry, it's the lifeblood of who we are as humans. So it's common sense, and I think I heard it before, it's not that common. And that really drives me crazy. But having this conversation, it's one of this way, again, to make people think and to put the game back on, start it over. Let's redefine things. And in this channel, we're redefining education. And if we redefine education, we may redefine a lot of other things, because that's who built who we are. So I would say thank you so much for bringing your experience to these conversations, Stephanie and Nini. I'm very excited about publishing this. And for the people listening to this, there will be resources on the notes for the podcast, and you can get in touch with both Nini and Stephanie if you have questions, if you're in the UK, wherever you are in the world. It's a big global village, and I love that.
That it is. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Nini.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Redefining Education Podcast. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.